Okay, it's Friday. June the 8th, 2012. Time again for Afternoons with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. Now, coming up, we're going to tell you, we always have conversations in the community. You know, people are always talking about Mapleton Fall Creek, or they always talk about downtown, or they always talk about Old North Side and Fall Creek Place. Or they'll talk about Hallville, USA. Or they'll talk about the Unwa neighborhood. Occasionally, they'll talk about the Near East Side. Or they'll talk about Martindale Brightwood. Or they'll talk about Forest Manor. Or they'll talk about the Meadows. Or they'll talk about Geist. Or they'll talk about Williams Creek. And occasionally they'll talk about Speedway and Southport and Lawrence. And they always leave out the far east side of the city. Far east side of the city has kind of been the orphan. I would say another word, but this is AM 1310, the light where we shine the light through the word and the music. So I got a pastor in the house, too, so I want to say what I want to say. However, the far east side for a couple of decades, not just like the last month or so, for a couple of decades, they've realized that the only people that are going to help the Far East Side is the Far East Side. And so they have worked, they have fought, they have stood up. When they got knocked down, they dusted themselves off and got back up. And they have come together as a neighborhood. Reached out to downtown, reached out to others, reached out to the businesses in the area. And they have developed a strategic plan. Usually when strategic plans are done, they're done by the city planners, the professional planners downtown of the city, or they go to a university. And then they let the university that doesn't even live in the neighborhood do the work. These are folk in the neighborhood who have done the work, and they title all of this, I Am the Far East Side. Hear that, Chris? I haven't heard a plan that said, I am Franklin Township. I haven't heard a plan that says, I am Decatur Township. I haven't even heard a plan that says, I am Unwa. But the Far East Side got a plan that says, I am the Far East Side. And tomorrow, they're going to have a celebration to unveil the plan for the community at School 103, right?
Yes.
That's on the Far East Side. And they'll tell us how to do that. We'll talk about the plan, how they put it together, and more importantly, what's in the plan. What does the Far East Side want, and how they gonna make the powers that be give it to them? If they don't give it to them, they're going to take it from them and turn that around. In the house is Melissa Drew, the executive director of CAFE. That's the Community Alliance for the Far East Side. That is the Neighborhood Association, the big resource center on the Far East Side of the city. Pastor James Jackson of Fervent Prayer, one of the many churches on the Far East Side and the churches in the area. Not just the Baptist church, because there are all kinds of churches on the Far East Side. Baptist and Apostolic and even the Hindu folk are up in there. They're all, the church community is all working together along with the neighborhood. Lakeisha Jackson of Pathway Resource, she's in the house. Charles Ingram was part of the group that put all of this together. He's also got a side job working downtown, but he's here because you got to have the city be a part of it. And one of the things I learned kind of skimming the plan is they want to make sure there's a regional park on the Far East Side. That's a park like Garfield or Riverside or Northwest Way or Somme. They want to have a series, not just a little old jive, you know, put up a tree and call it a park. They want a real park on the Far East Side. And Kim Bostic is here with Mount Carmel, another one of the great churches out in the neighborhood. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
We're talking about an area. The area that you all examine in this plan is basically Shadeland on the west, Hancock County on the east, Pendleton Pike on the north, and is it 30th or 25th Street on the south?
30th
on the south. That's the area we're talking about. And it's an area that I've known is a conglomeration of races and ethnicities for years. But I think a lot of listeners would be surprised to learn that it's an area, according to the 2010 census, that's a quarter white, 61% African-American, 14% Hispanic. And I think, Pastor Jackson, from the African-American community point of view, they may not realize that the Far East Side is a black neighborhood. Even though, you know, is that what you find as you go around the city and say, I am the Far East Side? And they look at you and say, well, you out there with the white folks.
Well, that's something that I've monitored over the past several years that we've been out there. And we have found that not only is the area populated by a lot of black folks, but the population is increasing with black folks. And so we're out there.
Right. Is that, Melissa Drew, as this conglomeration, this was a conglomeration of white and black and Hispanic and the public sector and the private sector and the faith-based community and grassroots folk and educated folk all coming together, is one of the challenges in remaking the Far East Side, getting developers and businesses to understand to invest in a multicultural community?
Sure. I think that, you know, I think a lot of times people think there's nothing happening in the Far East Side. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we were challenged with is to show, and I'm sure you saw in the plan, all the things that are happening. Mm-hmm. So people are investing, but we want more investment. I had a great meeting this morning with Finish Line and talked about how they can become more engaged. You know, I talked to them a few years ago, and they're like, our staff hits Midhoffer, mm-hmm. 21st Street, and hits 70. Mm-hmm. They don't go outside in this community. So how can they be more involved? So it was bringing everyone together and saying, okay, what do we want? What do we need? What do we already have? What can we highlight? And how can we build upon those things and bring everybody together to make it happen?
In this plan, what's the vision? What do you want to see the Far East Side to be? In other words, so if we're having this conversation 3 to 4 years from now, what's the vision? When you guys come back, you know, 3 or 4 years from now and say, we are the Far East Side, what's the vision? What are you trying to create?
This is Lakeisha, a united community that is resident engaged, resident led, and has all stakeholders involved saying, this is what we say our community is. Mm-hmm. This is who we say we are, and this is what we represent. And the aesthetics, to the beautification, to the housing, to the transportation, to the economic status, to everything, to our faith base, everything, that we are whole and we are united for Far East Side.
You've got, as I understand it, 8 action areas that you want to concentrate on. What are those 8 action areas?
Those 8 action areas are aesthetics and beautification is one. Crime and safety is second. Housing is third. Economic development is fourth. Health initiatives is 5. Resident engagement is 6. Transportation is 7. And youth and education is our 8th one.
One of the things that I kind of knew, but the general community doesn't about this area, 38% of the people that live on the Far East Side are kids under 18. How much of a change? That's 2 in 5. How much of a challenge is it to revitalize a neighborhood where 2 out of every 5 human beings that are in the neighborhood is a kid under 18?
You know what, Amos? I think that is a huge challenge. One, because we have to realize that youth is probably going to be our best effort to try and make any positive changes, because it's easier to get them before they've already gotten involved. The other thing that we have to realize is that we have such a diverse group of youth. Some of these youth, you know, the Far East Side is not just one sector. It's not just, you know, poor folk and rich folk. It's mm-hmm. a mixture. We've got some high class, some low class, some middle class, and we all kind of mix together and need to try and find a plan that works and is going to include all youth.
Is part of it also in Senator Jean Breaux, who represents that area, is part of the challenge for the Far East Side? The Near East Side of the city has sold these wolf tickets that they are the diverse area of Indianapolis. So is part of the challenge letting the city fathers and mothers know that there's another diverse area, and it's called Far East Side. So you got to deal with Near East Side and Far East Side, Senator.
Well, Amos, I just wanted to answer your last question. In terms of the number of youth in our area, I think that's a huge asset for us on the Far East Side, particularly as it comes to economic development and trying to attract businesses into our area. We need a workforce. We need to make sure that those youth are in school, getting educated, and graduating so that we can attract businesses based on the number of eligible qualified bodies that we have to fill open jobs that they will bring to our Far East Side. So I see that as a huge asset. It's a challenge in that we've got to make sure that that asset gets its education and stays in school and does those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But once we get them educated and qualified, I think that will bring all sorts of folks to our area because we will have the workforce to fill those jobs. Now, regarding the near side and the east side, I think that there are a great number of assets that the Far East Side has. And these are the folks who live in the Far East Side or work on the Far East Side and who know precisely what those assets are. I think we need to make sure that people downtown in City Hall and at the State House understand that it is not a forgotten area, but an area that is ripe with great opportunity and great potential. And we've got to start giving it the kind of respect and assets and I guess the word I'm looking for, resources. We've got to start giving it the kind of resources that it will need to develop all of those great assets.
A couple things you pointed out in painting the picture of the neighborhood, of the area, mm-hmm. was you looked at health of the area and you looked at crime. I want to go to health. How is this a healthy area? Is this an unhealthy area in terms of health? And how important is it to tithe improving a neighborhood to improving the health of the people that live there?
Pastor Jackson. Well, Amos, we're spiritually healthy mm-hmm. Out there on the Far East Side. But we are working towards having the resources to make sure that we can correct the poverty issues out there. Where my church is, we're on a 19% poverty track.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of poverty out there on the Far East Side. So the economic health, we're looking to change. We've had businesses leave our area.
Right.
The physical health, the health of the children. We understand out in our area, it's a food desert.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are not getting the
proper... That's right, because the Kroger abandoned you, the Walmart grocery store abandoned yeah. you. What do you think, y'all just growing food out, in the ground out there?
Well, you know, you need proper nutrition to properly think. And so I think, as you said, with 38% of the population being children, there needs to be a lot of focus mm-hmm. towards the Far East Side. And we have a commitment from City Hall and started a few years ago. Where Mayor Ballard said if we got the crime under control that he would commit resources to our area.
You mentioned crime. There has been progress in the Far East Side to try to deal with and do crime reduction strategies. You've not eliminated it mm-hmm. on the Far East Side, but it seems that that reputation that the Far East Side was, you know, little Iraq mm-hmm. is not necessarily there anymore in terms of the reality.
No, and we've all been working very, very hard together, all the people in this room and many others, to change that, the DMI project.
What's that?
The Drug Market Intervention
mm-hmm.
Project was first introduced on the Far East Side by then Commander Scott Hassler.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Connect was involved in that, and it was successful. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of good things. We saw crime go down.
Drug dealers leaving.
Yeah, yeah, and we've been able to sustain that effort mm-hmm. as well. And that model is going to be duplicated all over the city very soon.
You may have questions about it. Is the Far East Side, what do you call it, action plan? I won't call it. I am the Far East Side, the neighborhood coming together, leaving their politics and egos at the door to come together and create a plan that talks about how they're going to improve where they live, and bring development there and even put better street lights and signs in the grass and the trees and, yeah, maybe a bike path. Or two. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. What, in terms of what was one of the hardest issues to deal with in this plan, or was dealing with the issues not hard?
I think the first thing was to develop the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most difficult. And not that the people, the leaders on the Far East Side didn't want to work together.
Mm-hmm.
But just developing relationships, that's the most important thing in anything you're trying to build. Beyond that, just getting the people to come to the meeting places to mm-hmm. input on the plan, because mm-hmm. we believe that the more people who are involved in planning it, it makes it successful.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's Amos. You can send me an email at praiseindia.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos, or comment on our Facebook page, Amos Brown WTLC on Facebook, Amos Brown WTLC, that's on Facebook. Let me go to Miss Ann. Hi there.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question. I know they're talking about the Far East Side, and apparently this area is extreme east. Why are they not adding those people in across German Church, because there are a lot of people there, and really there's no representation? So it would be nice if someone would do something, and there are a lot of black people that live in that area.
Well, the area that they're talking about is from the Hancock County line mm-hmm. west to Shadlin. Mm-hmm. So that includes the area from German Church till you run out of Marion County.
Okay.
So German, no, every, it's all, anybody?
So it'll be across, like when you're going to Oaklandon?
Yes.
It's the southern part of Oaklandon. In other words, it's Pendleton Pike on the north.
Oh, okay.
Hancock County on the east. Shadlin on the west. 30th Street on the south.
And we would love for you to come if you're interested in helping out. That is one of the areas that we're focusing on. As a matter of fact, if you're north German Church, so up to 56th Street, the local point or the contact would be, of course, Mount Carmel. And if you're south on German Church, then the contact would be Pathway. So absolutely give us a call. Mount Carmel is 890-2740 and Pathway
890-9817.
Thank you.
And
so
I also
much.
Think it's important to note that the Far East Side is a very large area. And so what we're attempting to do is to try to take segments of it and do it in installments. So this is installment one, and there will be future installments. Once we get this off the ground and once we get this going, there will be future installments to address other parts of the Far East Side that are not captured in this particular plan today.
Okay.
But if you're in the area that we're addressing, we do need you to come out and be a part of this to be successful.
Okay, not quite, but I'm close, but I still may come. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you, Ms. Ann. 239-1310. Is that another one of the perceptions that people think the Far East Side ends at German Church? And that other area, well, that's them homeowners that's out there. Is that a part of that misperception?
Yeah, well Amos, the Far East Side, of course, you have a lot of apartments out there, and you do have a lot of residential homes out there. So it's a good mixture of residential homes, apartment living. And so when you drive into the area, it depends on where you drive into. If you drive into the southern side, the northern side of it, you might see a lot of apartments. If you come in through the eastern side of it, you'll see a lot of residences. So it's a wonderful area with a lot of potential, and that's what we've seen.
The census said that 15% of the housing units in the Far East Side were vacant as of April 2010. Is probably roughly that same amount now. What does this plan say or address abandoned houses, you know, single family houses or those single family double housing units? And then what does it say about absentee landlords, both the absentee landlords of a house and these absentee landlord apartment owners that allow their apartments to deteriorate, and deteriorating apartments helps drag a neighborhood down? Melissa?
We have several plans around housing to address both. One, we feel like some of it is a density issue, mm-hmm. so maybe some of it needs to go and doesn't need to be new built, mm-hmm. you know. So that's one of the things I know the senator's interested in and others have talked about. We're working very hard to engage owners. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to be able to engage an apartment manager, but they're not always the decision maker.
Right.
So we're getting those out-of-state land owners to the table. Hart's Landing, as you saw in the plan, is getting ready to do some great renovations there. Mm-hmm. Amberwood's just completing their renovations. Looks great. So there's some energy around that. As far as housing, we're working on CAFE, as the CDC in that area is focused on housing from 38th to 42nd post to Mithoffer. Mm-hmm. So as the senator suggested, again, taking a small area, we've done 8 houses in that area to date. We're partnering with Habitat for Humanity. Some of them we're tearing down, mm-hmm. and some of them we're rehabbing. So looking at several strategies that could address housing from a holistic perspective.
Occasionally on this program, we get Senator Breaux, you know, somebody wanting to bring back the dollar house from back in the day, and I guess they figure if they can bring Dallas back on television, you can bring back
with all the original characters.
Yeah, with the original. If you can bring JR back, you can bring back the dollar home. Is that something to maybe look at some of as you develop this plan? Some of the successes of the past and see can they be updated for the 21st century?
Absolutely. Amos, I think that, first of all, Melissa is right. There's far too much density when it comes to apartment housing. And so we've talked about the prospects of getting it rezoned so that it's not eligible to be zoned for apartments, mm-hmm. and maybe taking a park or developing some kind of a certified technology park in the place where this huge footprint of an apartment complex was. Also, we need to look at the density area, and there was another thought, and it just took right out of my head, just jumped right out of my head.
Well, let me go to the phones at 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Amos. Let me go to Pastor Williams. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Listen, let me say that the Far East Side is doing a tremendous job. Cafe is awesome. And Melissa, I know for a fact, works her behind off. And James Jackson is providing wonderful leadership for Fiat. You know, we were located right there on Mithoffer, and we relocated around the corner to the present location right there on 42nd and Burwood. But our leadership wrestled with whether or not to stay in that location or to move further north into the Lawrence Oak Landing area. And we decided to stay where we are because we felt that there was a tremendous need for a church of our stature right there in that community. And plus, we will bring in a recreation program because there are no recreation facilities with all of those young people out there. So we felt responsible to bring that to the table. Once we did, we ran into a stone wall. We did not know it would be this difficult to get the city to come to the table and partner with us and with CAFE and with Fiat around that recreational idea that we have. So to this day, with all of the young people out there, we still don't have a viable recreation ministry in the Far East, and I think that's important.
Yeah, good point. 239-1310. It's Afternoon's Name. Pastor, as you look at the challenges, and we're talking to Pastor Theron Williams of Mount Carmel, as part of this broad-based effort out on the Far East Side, I won't say what's the greatest need, because that's like determining which of your kids is best, but if you had to prioritize, what's critical out there? Pastor? Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor. We lost you for a minute. Go ahead.
Were you talking to me?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, everything that the action plan, I think the CAFE and Fiat have put together that action plan, and it's awesome. And there are 8 items that this thing is revolving around. And I don't think when they read it off, it was listed in an order of priority. I think all of them mm-hmm. are priorities. But what was important for us, our calling, was to do the recreational piece and the spiritual piece. You know, James Jackson is there. He's doing spiritual stuff at his church, and other churches are involved. But we felt that it was our call and our mandate to provide the recreational aspect that the city just refuses to provide for all of those kids out there. Mm-hmm. And when we came to the table, you know, we didn't get any response from City Hall at all.
Is this also something that one of the uses of this plan, Pastor and the panel here, is to take this plan to the Lilly Endowment, take this plan to the Central Indiana Community Foundation, take this plan to Central Indiana rich businesses group to simply say, you know, because the city got enough problems trying to pay the regular bills. But to simply say it's time for you, United Way private sector, to invest in YMCAs or Boys and Girls Clubs or youth programming activity and put the weight on the private sector to start reinvesting in organizations to be in this community, Senator?
Amos, that's why I think this plan and this group of folks is just so important to the Far East Side, because we have got to show that the Far East Side has the ability in its own way and on its own merits to come together and organize around a plan that they have implemented and that they have put forth their voices on, so that we can then take that and say, look, there is a concerted effort on the Far East Side. There's buy-in from the businesses. There's buy-in from the churches. There's buy-in from the schools. There's buy-in from the residents. We are the Far East Side, and we now demand some attention, and here is what we need your help doing. So by doing this quality of life plan and by bringing all the leaders together on the Far East Side, that will prepare us and give us the ammunition that we need to go out and get more resources.
239-1310, 239-1310 is After News Names. We're talking about improving the quality of life on the Far East Side. And we say the Far East Side, we talking Shadeland to Hancock County, 30th Street North to Pendleton Pike. That's a big area. It's about 40,000 people that live in that area, according to the 2010 census, and that was 2 years ago, so we know it's 42,000 people living up there. Now, you may have questions. It's a plan that's covering all types of areas, from aesthetics and beautification to transportation, resident engagement, health initiatives, housing, economic development, crime and safety, and youth and education. We've got a great panel here. You may want to weigh in at 239-1310. Also, when we come back, youth and education are important in an area where 38% of the people are under the age of 18. So how critical is it that there needs to be a high school on the Far East Side? Because, you know, the state is starting to covet again. And you know, when the state covets, all kind of stuff. And in fact, there's a public hearing on Monday out on the Far East Side of John Marshall to determine, is the state going to take it over? They ain't proved they can take over the first Amen. Four that they got. But that's but we'll get their reaction to all of that. That's from 6 to 8 Monday, by the way, at John Marshall. It's After News with Amos After These. Got an email at praiseindy.com. She wants to know, what time is the meeting tomorrow at School 103? 1 o'clock.
Cater food.
And there's food.
Catered
food. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So y'all need to be. And School 103 is where? Because if you're on the Far East Side, you should know where School 103 is.
3920 Baker Street.
And that's 38th and
42nd. Just off of 42nd.
Just off of 42nd, but it's called 39 something Baker.
3920 North Baker.
Okay.
You can enter it off of 42nd.
All right. Because, you know, they got all them curlicue streets over there on the Far East Side. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Paul, hi there.
Hey, my friend. How's it going?
Fine.
Hey, you know, the East Side still got hope. We're global now. You just mentioned the Hindus and a couple other people. We need to bring them in the mix and see how we can merge together and unify. What we need is jobs. The grocery stores moved out, and we need to ask corporations, would they move back in without the middleman? Because we keep on rehashing the same old thing. It's not working. We need to get companies and then donate them property like the churches and other corporations. You know, what it is a lot of land out there that's not producing. And we got a lot of land out there that really is going to waste. We need to tear some down them apartments. We need to tear some down them houses and redo. But the only way you can do that is get corporations out there producing. The people that's not producing, they just rehashing old conversations. It's not getting us nowhere. Thank you, my friend.
All right, good point. Paul sounds like somebody that needs to be working with the group and the committee.
Always recruiting, so absolutely.
How critical is it for you all to maybe get in a car, get on the bus, get on a plane, and go to these corporate headquarters and make the pitch yourself? In other words, to go to Bentonville, Arkansas, and pitch Walmart, we're a different East Side than when you put that little supermarket out in the middle of nowhere with no support. And maybe if you moved it a mile this way, more where people are, you'd have had a better success ratio.
That's something, Amos, that is part of our plan. In fact, we have engaged Monarch Beverage. We've engaged some of the other.
That's a big employer out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're going to do some things with hopefully our Clean for Green program this summer that's going to provide some wonderful things for the community and for our youth. What that is cash for helping to clean up our neighborhood for youth out there 14 to 18 years old. So we're working towards those areas. This is going to take some time. And, of course, we did go to the city a few months ago to request a liaison that would help us reach our goals. And the city of Indianapolis did provide us with Charles Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
He understands the various nuances of the Far East Side and the difficulties that we face out there. And to that recreation issue that Dr. Williams talked about, they have a beautiful facility out there. That's something that I think Charles Ingram is going to help us with, not only for Mount Carmel, but for other ministries perhaps that have that particular calling, and not just ministries, but CDCs like CAFE and others who want to reach those children. Because as you said, we have thousands of children who are out there, and one facility would not be able to facilitate a program for all the children.
Let me go back to that. If with a population, let me try to do my math here. With a population of 40,000 and 40% are under 18, that's 16,000 kids.
Right.
And you know, and
that's
honestly, when we talk about recreation for the things that we have done. Mount Carmel serviced approximately 1,000 children a year on average,
mm-hmm.
and that's 1,000 kids, but that's still not even a quarter of the children that are out there. And so I think what Pastor Williams is trying to explain is that, you know, this is something that we can't do it alone. We've done so much. We have the facility, but we're going to need more help, and we're going to need more support around making sure, and that's what this body is for.
Have you all ever thought of, you know, you working through the auspices of the city, getting a bunch of community leaders. I'm talking about the business leaders. I'm talking about the boys and the three or four girls that they let hang with the boys that run the town, putting them on a brand new Indigo bus, because so you know the air conditioning gonna work,
right.
And do a bus tour, no joke, of the Far East Side and show them. You've done that.
Yep.
Did that do any good? Did
yeah,
it help?
Yeah, it raised some awareness. Mm-hmm. But again, this is something that we're going to continue to do over the next several years. It's a process. You know, a biblical principle says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you extrapolate that from the text and place it in modern era, what the Bible is saying is you have a process. And it starts out small, it grows, and it comes to its full maturity at some point in time. And so we did that. We had city leaders. We had some people from the neighborhood. We had various people on the bus, and we took a ride around. And we had representatives from Senator Brough's office. So the awareness has been raised, and I think that was instrumental, Amos, in our being able to get a liaison, a mayor's neighborhood liaison, mm-hmm. assigned to the Far East Side area who understands what we're dealing with and is going to help us reach our goals.
Lakeisha?
To add to that, Amos, also to address the gentleman that called about that we have a lot of land and we're not using it to produce anything, in some retrospect, he's correct. But now we have the plan. I am the Far East Side, or we are the Far East Side. So we've been working on this plan for 18 months. It addresses the top 8 concerns that we and residents, first of all, that came together to put this plan together. Now we can go to the city. We can go to the not-for-profits, to the grant writers, to the stakeholders, to businesses, and say, because first we were just blindly. We were saying what we needed, but individually. Mount Carmel might need this. Pathway Amber Woods might need this. Cafe needed this or want to serve this. Now we're working together. We have this plan, and united. Not just CAFE, not just FIAT, but the residents, the business owners, the faith-based organizations saying, we have this plan, we have this vision, and yes, what Pastor Jackson said, it is a process, but now we can start to move forward because we have it. If it's not in writing, it's not going to move forward. We have it in writing. We have invested leaders and residents who are engaged and who are on top of it and who are committed, like myself, to help this process move forward.
Let me go to Brenda, 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
And hello to your guests.
They're fine.
Hi.
Hi.
I went to the Quality of Life meeting that they had on 521, and I was very impressed with the people that were there. And the reason why I came is because I had called earlier to ask questions pertaining to our children. Being at CAFE is right there in the community. I want to know the number of children who didn't pass the eye test for reading and to how to help serve those children. But I also was trying to ask the question. I think her name was Melissa.
She's here.
Okay, Melissa, are you there?
Yes.
I do you remember me coming up
yes,
to you, Melissa?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, I asked you the question about the suspension and expulsion in the school-to-prison pipeline of our young black boys.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that there was somebody that you knew of who was addressing this issue and that, you know, I was hoping to hear from you, but I never did, so I'm sure you're busy.
Well, I apologize. I haven't gotten back to you sooner. Been working very hard on the plan.
Okay.
There is a group, and I don't have the name in front of me, that's working on, and that was not necessarily that one issue, but it is the issue related to organizing parents. I think that's the other thing we talked about, is organizing parents to address issues in the school, and that was the group specifically that I have a contact with. But Charles Ingram's here, and he's working on the issue that you're speaking to specifically, so he's going to address that.
Charles?
Good afternoon, Ms. Brenda. I'm working closely with Dr. Blackman, who is a professor at IUPUI, and we have had a couple of meetings over the last week over in the CAFE and out of area there. But if you could please give me a call and also give me your email, I will forward you the next two meetings, because that is a very important issue and topic for the 4E side. We have a couple sessions left, and I'd like to invite you out on those topics. But if you'd like to give me a call at my city number, that would be 327-4139. That's 327-4139.
Okay, may I make this last comment, if I may?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
As I was sitting there, I had a chance to speak to two of the team members that was there after the meeting was held. And one of the things that they did convey to me is that they had did some canvas runs going door to door out there in the community, and they didn't have too. They had a good response at one time, but they don't know what happened after that. So somewhere along this line, we're going to have to do a door to door walking campaign, knocking on those doors out in those communities to figure out if we got children who are in the pipeline who are looking at suspension. We need to stop that pipeline before it goes into an expulsion. We need to stop that expulsion before it turns into these kids being sent to the criminal justice system. And I don't think we're doing a good job with this, because what I'm learning is that in the form that I live in, I feel this way. There's always intervention.
Mm-hmm.
That if we could identify these children who are already in that pipeline, having the schools work with us, We can stop this bleeding. But until we get the school systems, they can't go under the mandate that it's confidential. No, we're talking about children's lives. And this is the excuses that the schools use. The churches can be used as a reference point to assist these children and these parents, A, to understand the law, understand the system, B, not putting these young children in situations where they're going to have to face the criminal justice system, because these parents don't have monies to hire good attorneys. So oftentimes they're faced with the reality that their children are going to spend time because they can't afford legal representation, even though their children get caught up. Children make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that they should have an internal life of regress and not have the hope of having some true potential in their lives.
And Senator Brenda, Senator Jean Brough also wants to respond. Senator.
Yeah, Brenda, I think you and I have met before at a couple of meetings, and I think that you need to also be aware that this is an issue that far exceeds the Far East Side, that it's an issue that affects many communities all across the state, and it is a statewide issue that we are looking at legislatively from the state in ways to try to plug the, to train the school resource officers so that they can identify a problem versus someone who might be ill, that we can put programs in place to stop the first line of defense as to going into the criminal justice system, and instead looking at some deterrent programs. So this is a very large issue that affects many communities and neighborhoods all across our state, and it's one that we are in the legislature very aware of and working diligently to try to come up with ways. But, again, it comes down to money and resources, and that's always a challenge.
All right, good points, as always. I think Kim wanted to add in on this, and I need to move on.
And just real quick, I just wanted to say, Brenda, thanks for calling. But this is something not only that we're looking at as on a legislative level statewide, but there are already talks that where the juvenile justice system and adult education and IPS, general education, are talking right now. And we're trying to find ways that we can help these students, because it could very well be that it is best for them to do and pursue adult education rather than be in a classroom setting for some instances. And they're trying to figure out programs that will allow those children, if that is the route that they take, that they can take, you know, they can study and prepare to go on to college and not just receive a GED or a high school diploma or certificate without going further to enhance their education. So this is something that they're already talking about. The community is very aware, and this is something that I think we should continue to lobby.
I appreciate the call, as always. 239-1310, 239-1310, Zaps News and Amos. As I look at the map of the area, it is very clean, four real simple lines, and it's simple. But if my memory serves me right, there are some jagged lines within the Far East Side neighborhood to determine, are you in the IPS area? Are you in the Warren Township Schools area? Are you in the Lawrence Township Schools area? Are you in the city of Lawrence? From the part of dealing with some of these priorities, the fact that you might have to deal with the city of Lawrence on a little bit of it, how does that make all of that work unified? How is Lawrence feeling about all of this?
Councilman Barnett has been coming to the Far East Side Action Coalition meetings representing Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
So we are building a positive relationship with the city of Lawrence through him.
Mm-hmm.
He's very excited about the plan. And I think through that, we'll be able to overcome any issues we might have with that.
On education, how difficult is it, because these 16,000 kids in the area, when you take many of them are divided up between IPS, Lawrence Township, Warren Township, plus the three charter schools that are out there. Imagine Andrew Brown and
Monument Lighthouse.
And Monument Lighthouse. How difficult is it when you're trying to deal with education, and even what Brenda was talking about,
mm-hmm.
when you're dealing with those multiplicity of systems?
I don't think I think that's one of the caveats that if no one else has been able to work around the Far East Side, I think we have a very good relationship with all of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
I know that CAFE and Mount Carmel for a fact service both Lawrence and IPS, and I'm sure Pathway does as well. We have relationships with the trustee's office. We've met with the new mayor
of Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. So they're coming. They understand, and all of the school systems, as a matter of fact, you know, when we give away clothes and we do the uniform giveaways, we give clothes to all of the schools, the education, we tutor, we're in the schools. So
but does those overlapping jurisdictions in education and in city administration make implementing this plan a little trickier?
You know, Amos, on that question there, it seems to make it a little tricky, but it's not. We're bringing the community together. We have the city of Indianapolis, Mayor Ballard. He's at the table with the city. You have the Lawrence mayor, who's also been reaching out to the Far East Side. And we also now have the community groups who's involved with the GC3. So we bring everybody together as one. You know, CAFE have a big area. So we are stretching out from Warren and Lawrence. So we're asking everyone to come to the table, both city leaders, city council for Lawrence, and also from the city of Indianapolis.
How critical is John Marshall to the success of this area?
It's very critical. I mean, John Marshall has a rich history. A couple of years ago, I met with Dr. Mary Bush, and Dr. Bush said that John Marshall was going to survive. IPS had no plans of closing John Marshall, as with other schools. Our hope is that IPS will be able to continue their programs. They've been putting that school back together. We've seen some progress at the school. We've seen things coming around. They just need, I think, more time to get the job done.
I know this State Board of Education hearing at John Marshall this Monday is been put together by the state at the last minute, and I'm going to, you know, fuss at them when they're here live in our studio at the top of the next hour. And here you are, you know, finishing up this plan and having a big community celebration Saturday. And you're just now hearing of this. Are you all planning a big presence at the hearing, you know, to get your testimony, if not on the record Monday, to submit written testimony to the State Board of Education as to how you all view the importance of John Marshall and what the state needs to do?
Well, this is my first time hearing about it, too. I think that it's incumbent upon state officials who are involved in this process to reach out to the stakeholders. I think that's something that's very, very important to do. I don't think there should be anything clandestine about their approach. If you're going to do something like that, find out what the rest of the community thinks about it, our input and what we're trying to do. We're partnering with John Marshall, as we are with several of the other schools. John Marshall is critically important. It's a centerpiece out there on the east, far east side. In fact, when I'm telling people how to get to my church or other places, cafe, I'll say down the street from John Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a state takeover, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to change the name,
mm-hmm.
but it's a critical piece.
Let me go, Charles.
Amos, real quick on that also. Just our partner, School 103. You know, we hear they want to take over John Marshall, but we have a principal, Mrs. Davis at 103, mm-hmm. who really worked so hard with the community to engage. And just finding out reason that they're going to move this principal and send her way over to the Iowa district on the west side. But this principal has done so much. I mean, I go back when Mr. White was in John Marshall, when he's interacting and walking, making sure the kids is coming to school and bring the parents together. So now we never have to lose another principal at 103.
Yeah, are you losing him because the principal didn't do a good job, or she did such a great job they want her to go try to save a Titanic somewhere?
Well, you know, I'm going to say this. If we lose it because she did a lousy job, it's not the answer. She did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But we still need her. She's part of our quality of life on that Far East Side. This principal here had came to the Far East Side, opened her door to welcome the community to come to her door, also the parent. So right now, we're moving a principal who is part of our quality of life should be there for another 2 or 3 years to help us move to the next level.
And longer. Not even that. You know, one of the things that we talked about, Lawrence and the township schools, growing up, I don't know about everyone else, but you remember when you get to third grade, you're going to get Miss Davis. And when you get to fourth grade, oh, I don't want Mr. Skank. Or mm-hmm. you get know your teachers, you know, for years to come. You have the same principal. My kids had the same principal he's been there for 30 years. We don't have that, and that's something that we need to continue, I think, to push and to ask for through IPS, because when you move principals every year, you're not only affecting that teacher or that principal, you're affecting the children.
And that's been one of the problems with John Marshall. You know, they've gone through more principals than and the Kardashians go through husbands.
Yes.
239-1310. 239-1310 is after. Oh, Dr. White, he ain't going to like that line, but quit moving principals around that are doing a good job. Move the ones that ain't doing nothing.
That's right.
Somebody called and told me about an IPS principal that wouldn't let the community in their school and wouldn't be involved. That's the one you move. Yeah. You don't move the one that's been involved in the community. Anyways, we'll be back with more of your calls. Oh, the State Department of Education will be here at the top of the hour to talk about the public hearing that's going to be Monday out of the Far East Side at John Marshall to determine what should the state do about a school that's on the not good list for 7 straight years. The state's got to do something. Well, they don't have to, but it's the law. It's After News with Amos after these. Back to the phones, and Karen. Hi there. Karen?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi. I am wanting just to get a little bit of clarification mm-hmm. as far as maybe a few of the comments that were made by some of the guests. I just turned on the radio, so I didn't hear a lot about what had happened before. But I do have quite a bit of information to share, but I will be brief regarding Lawrence Township. I live near we have 4 kids that are in the Lawrence Township schools. We happen to reside near the further, kind of the northeast side of the Lawrence Township. So hopefully this applies to us as parents also. But could I get a little clarification?
Oh, you most certainly can. We've got neighborhood leaders from the Far East Side neighborhood. This is the area, 30th Street on the south, Shadeland on the west, Hancock County on the east, and Pendleton Pike on the north, who have put together a very detailed plan to improve the quality of life on the far east side of the city. Everything from land use to education to the demographics to beautifying the area to crime and safety to housing to economic development to engaging people that live there to transportation, the whole ball of wax.
Okay. Well, I just want to weigh in just a little bit on parental involvement. That is something that is very, very close to my heart. I have been working involved.
Hold on, Karen. For some reason, your cell phone's kind of breaking up, and it makes it hard not only for me to hear but all the listeners. And also, I don't know whether you're inside or outside.
Okay. I'm going to try and get closer to the base.
Okay. Yeah, that happens.
That a little better?
That is much better. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, as a Lawrence Township parent, I have lived in Lawrence for about 10 years, mm-hmm. and I have actually left my professional job to do more volunteer work within the schools. We also have four daughters in the school. And within Lawrence Township, over probably about the last 3 or 4 years, there have been significant changes in the leadership, and I won't go into all that detail, but one of the things that I've seen and have been extremely concerned about is that when parent groups have tried to speak up or to speak out or to express concerns, many times if they do not square exactly with the administration, parents are ostracized or pushed out or given all kinds of excuses as to why they cannot participate in certain activities or meetings or functions. And, you know, like I said, I'm a very involved parent, but and I'm very, especially as a parent of color, I'm concerned about the achievement gap. I'm concerned about graduation rates and on and on and on. I want to see our community do better. But what my big concern is, the lack of parental involvement of parents, because we actually put together a parents group last school year that was called PULSE, Parents United for Literary Selection Excellence, and we had to go through all kinds of hoops and jump-ups, bureaucracy, all kinds of red tape just to be allowed to participate. So, yeah.
Wait a minute, just to be allowed to participate in the school?
Yes, in various meetings. We raised some concerns regarding literary issues with a lot of the classic books that were used for our children that were from the 30s and 40s, where we were constantly being called the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
There was a literary review team put together.
I think I heard about this. Let me ask the panel that's here, as you all are working with the area of the Far East Side south of Pendleton Pike and trying to get parents engaged and you're getting the neighborhood engaged and involved in advocating for themselves, how are you, you know, educating folks to be able to deal with government bureaucracy, whether it's the City of Lawrence bureaucracy, the City of Indianapolis bureaucracy, no disrespect to Charles Ingram that's here, or to the school bureaucracies, whether it's IPS, whether it's Warren Township, whether it's Lawrence Township, or the charter schools that are there?
You know, I commend you as a parent. I think that it's 100% needed. Every parent should be involved in everything that their child is doing, and it just makes an all-around better environment, not only in the school system but in our community. But I think that's our job. Amos, that's exactly what we're here for. We are here to empower you as a parent, and it's our job to build relationships in the schools and for you to get to know us so that if there is a problem at a school that's a partner with FEAC or Mount Carmel or CAFE or any of the Far East Side pathway, that you can get on the phone and say, hey, you know what, Lakeisha, I'm having this problem. I really don't know how to deal with it, and we can guide you and help you. Or get on the phone and make a phone call. I have parents that come to me every day and say, you know what, my son has been kicked out for the third time. I try to get information from the parent. I don't know what's going on. And sometimes it is a hard conversation to have with a parent and say, you know what, maybe it is you. But sometimes it's telling them, you know, these are some other things that we can do, and this is how we correct the issue. It's not necessarily that what you're doing. It's about the approach and how we, you know, how we build that relationship with the school and between the parents.
And Karen, the folks from the NAACP have been listening and saying you might want to also call the Greater Indianapolis chapter of the NAACP and ask to be connected with their education committee.
Yes, and we actually are currently working with the NAACP, but I will tell you, Amos, and to all of the listeners, it really is a shame that it has had to get to that point. But I do understand that basically in this country and in this community, we have to fight for our right. We have to fight for the right to be heard. We have to fight for our children.
Well,
and that is what we will continue to do.
And Karen, I will tell you that since this is a election year, not only for president at the top of the ballot, but school board at the bottom, Lawrence is coming in this time for the first time. They may not know it yet, but they're going to get the invitation. We're going to set a date, and we will let everybody know in plenty of time when it is Lawrence Township School Board Day. And y'all be ready.
Okay, we will be ready. Do you have a date at this point? Because I want to put that on my calendar.
I don't have the date yet, but I'm going to give everybody fair warning when the date is.
Okay, wonderful. So now, in terms of getting more information, who do I need to contact to get more information and more support
about this group? Okay, Lakeisha, we're getting close on time. How do people get a hold of this effort?
We're gonna tell you, come out tomorrow, School 103. Get the plan. Get involved in some of these groups.
Free food,
and the website is Melissa. Tell them the website.
www.FarEastSideQualityOfLifePlan.com.
That was Far East Side dot.
No, Far East Side Quality of Life Plan, all one big word.
Yeah.
.com.
Okay.
But come out tomorrow. You can speak to some of these leaders, and we can put you in touch to where you need to from the various organizations that are represented here today.
And School 103 is off of 42nd Street between
Mid Hoffer and Post Road,
39th and Baker.
Yeah. Okay. What time?
1 o'clock to 3, and the program is at 1:30.
Thank you.
I have a band here that says I am the Far East Side.
You got a band.
Familiar with the ones that like Lance Armstrong, Live Strong.
I am the Far East Side.
I'd like to gift that to
you. It's orange,
English.
Too. I am the Far East Side. Kim Bostic, Charles Ingram, Lakeisha Jackson, Melissa Drew, Pastor James Jackson, Senator Gene Breaux. They are the Far East Side.
Yay.
Guys, thanks very, very much.